and welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Tough loss for the Warriors last night in more ways than one. Obviously, expectations have been running extremely high coming off of an undefeated preseason and two huge blowout wins on the road. Come back home for the home opener against the Clippers, who are on the back end of a back-to-back coming back from altitude in Denver in a hard-fought win. Thought they'd be content to just settle into a nice split and go home from there and give up in the second half. But the Warriors had other plans and allowed the Clippers to basically jump out to a lead in this one and just never really got back in the game until it was too late. It looked a lot like the same Warriors team that we saw at home last year. A lot of turnovers, being outworked on the glass, not a lot of effort, just not getting to loose balls. Basically, just got beat, run off the court by the Clippers in many ways. And obviously, the big, big loss here is Steph Curry with a sprained left ankle, going to probably miss a couple weeks, several games. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Just looking at the game last night, again, it was just not a great effort, and we can point our finger at several people. We can exonerate a couple people who actually had pretty big games. But really, the story of this one, it could be summed up just right after halftime. It was a tough first half. You would like to think the Warriors would regroup at halftime, but they come out of the half in the third quarter and just start with four very careless and bad turnovers in the first five possessions. I think that put them at like 16 turnovers just to start the third quarter. And then that's a recipe to lose. You know, when you're not getting, you know, maybe 12 to 14 more possessions out of your team as the other one, then you're probably going to lose this game. And that turned out to be one of the big differences in this one. It was more of the same to the other, I guess the roster construction standpoint here is that the Warriors really struggle against good bigs. We all knew this. It's the same as last year. It's a problem that's going to continue to exist until roster moves are made. When we're playing bigs like a Zubac, who are seven footers, you know, you can survive an Ayton, you know, against Portland, but you're not going to survive a Zubac or any of these kind of like 18 to 20 point scorers who have skill, can essentially, they know how to use their size advantage. Closest Warrior that we're going to have is either Looney or TJD or even Draymond, who are giving up a solid 3 inches of height, probably 5-6 inches when you factor in the reach. If a big knows how to use his size, knows how to finish down low, the Warriors get bullied around, and in turn, you see the double team comes, shooters get open. It's as much as you want to fix the point of attack defense on the perimeter, which is better this year. If you can't stop the post scoring, then you can't stop any of the bigs. It's going to be the same effect of having to double and free up shooters. And there's nothing you can do at that point. TJD in this one, he's a young kid. He's got to still put a little bit of weight on that frame. You know, for all the shot blocking prowess he has, really can't put up much of a post defensive presence against a bigger Zubac. TJD only able to play 16 minutes in this one. I'd like to have seen him get a few more minutes and see what he can do. I think the biggest runs the Clippers had last night was when TJD was on the bench. But you can see he's getting pushed around a little bit and just kind of struggling when he's out there. Looney fared better. But, you know, if Looney's our only option at center, and we've seen this before, and as good as Looney has looked this year, it's a recipe that's not going to be getting very far into the playoffs, if at all. And then the last option is obviously to go with Draymond Green at center, where he's given up a ton. You're asking a lot out of him. And, well, let's be honest, Draymond Green did not have his best game last night. We'll talk a little bit more about Draymond in a bit. You saw this a couple years ago, even against the Lakers in the playoffs with Anthony Davis. And I know he's kind of a unicorn of a big, but this is why the Warriors can't beat teams that have a very good center. And there's maybe, call it, seven or eight teams in the league that have these type of players. I mean, I wouldn't have really put Zubac in that, but he's the style and the size of player that just amplifies what the Warriors' big weakness is there. So again, looking at it, you know, between the Warriors' lack of effort, sloppy play on offense, and then just, you know, not being able to do much against a big, that's why the Warriors really struggled to get stops in this one. I thought that the defense would just eat the Clippers alive. A tired Clippers team come against a fresh, deep Warriors team. I thought the ball pressure would be there. I thought the Warriors would just come out and win every loose ball, rebound like always, but it just didn't work tonight. what the Warriors ended up trying to do, and this is, credit to a Ty Lue team who is a very good defense. They have a lot of athletes there, and for the Clippers, they're an underrated defense. They switch everything. Screens, you're switching everything. So it does get the Warriors out of their general kind of motion and ball movement game plan. It kind of puts us in hunting switches, hunting matchups where we're basically in pick and rolls trying to get Zubac switched out onto the perimeter against your Steph Currys and ball handlers of the world. It can be successful, but now you're in pick and roll and you're getting away from what's been successful this season for the Warriors, and that's just the movement, the motion. Everyone's touching the ball, cutting, getting involved. It's just a different style of play. And it's, quite frankly, it's pretty draining on, you're asking a lot out of your individual scorers to attack matchups. I know it's what the NBA does these days, but the Warriors are not built like that. And that's why, again, it's just a tough matchup for the Warriors, which I guess we probably should have seen coming, knowing that about Ty Lue. And then lastly, we went small. It was effective for a bit with Draymond at center. Stylistically, it worked, but realistically, when Draymond's going to play with no heart, no effort, just no passion for the game, it's just not going to work. Draymond Green is the heartbeat of this team. He has been for the last decade plus. We see the times when he's not engaged. We see the ups and downs of Draymond Green. Last night was one of the downs, and pretty down there. Got benched in this one. I don't think he played the entire fourth quarter. Sat there with ice on his knees, just never even a consideration during that fourth quarter that he would play. Maybe he tweaked that knee a little bit, if we're giving him the benefit of the doubt, but that does not excuse his play from the night. Again, not much effort, sloppy, just not engaged, and just really no fire lit under him. Draymond, he needs to be better. And for that reason, the Warriors closed with a lineup once Steph went out. Pajemski, Wiggins, Buddy, JK, and Looney, who played great. And the Warriors still had a chance to win this one. They actually went on a run led by Wiggins. They cut it down to 1 point with a couple minutes left. Lost contact in the last few minutes, which the first clutch minutes of the year with no Steph Curry. I can see how that happened. But again, the Warriors fought back. This game was there for them to win if they had given any better effort on many different fronts, but didn't get it done. And I'm going to blame a lack of effort on the Warriors tonight. I'm also going to point the finger at myself. And speaking of lack of effort, so I thought I was putting my best effort forward, but obviously, all you Bay Area fans know, we also had a Niners game at the same time. I'm wearing my Niners fit today. Had to put on a little red. I'm sitting there. I got my Warriors jersey under a Niners jersey. I prioritized Niners. And the real story here is that, my beautiful wife, she asked probably midway through both games. Niners are trailing 10-6 at this point, and she's like, "Oh, I forgot to put on a shirt. Like, who do I wear?" And I sat and I thought, and I'm like, okay, I think the Niners need a win at this point more than the Warriors. You know me, I'm a bigger Warriors fan, but the Niners need a win. Put your Niners shirt on. So she puts it on, and literally, like the second it touches her skin, Garendo breaks a long run, and the Niners score a touchdown and end up kind of cruising into the fourth quarter. At which point, my wife goes to bed early on a Sunday to get ready for work, takes off her shirt, and then the Niners start collapsing. Cowboys come back. Niners end up getting, obviously, to the last drive where the Cowboys have a chance to win. I go into the room, wake my wife up, who's already asleep at this point, ask her to put the Niners shirt back on just for the final drive, and it worked. So the force is strong in that one. But thanks for being a good sport, Kathy. But we got what we asked for. Niners won. Warriors lose in significant fashion here. We'll take the loss, but the loss of Steph Curry, that's a whole nother beast here. Steph's ankle. So it's the disheartening part about it is that it's early season. He's rested. Or it was a non-contact injury. It looked just like a basic, just kind of change of direction. Maybe his foot gets a little wide, kind of just trying to, change directions here, but that ankle rolls out a bit, hops around a little bit, goes to the bench immediately. Deemed good enough to return. You see him kind of working with the band, keeping it warm, comes back in, and then literally on just basically a nothing, just kind of moving, just rolls it again, pretty bad this time. Decent limp straight to the locker room. It's, I guess, it's his left foot. which is not the surgically repaired one. His right was the one that got surgery. It's been the one, the more problematic one. Also, the silver lining here is that Curry's actually, even though he's a right-handed shooter, he actually is a right-footed jumper, which is unusual because usually you're cross-dominant. That's why you see him finish with his left hand a lot more. So I guess it's not his dominant jumping leg, although obviously you use both ankles here, but a little silver lining, it's his left. It's probably, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess it's somewhere between a grade one and probably closer to a grade two ankle. Steve Kerr said after the game, you know, Curry said it was kind of mild to moderate being closer probably to like a grade two. We've seen this enough before where, you know, obviously we're not doctors, but if we had to put a pretty median timeline on these ankle injuries, you know, we're probably going to say 2 weeks he misses, being that it's early season and being that it might have been a little more than just than your casual sprain. You know, maybe it's closer to 3 weeks. If we're looking at the schedule ahead, so 2 weeks would be about seven games missed, and that would potentially be a return on November 12th, which is a Tuesday, against the Mavericks and Klay Thompson coming into town. So I think he's going to aim to be back for that game to play against Klay. They don't play again for a couple more days after that until that Friday, and that would be the Grizzlies coming to town. So there is a chance that he opts for that, the additional 3 days of rest, and come back November 15th, which would put it about 2.5, a little over 2.5 weeks. And then if he waits a full 3 weeks, then it's that next Sunday against the Clippers again. So anywhere from, I'm going to guess, 7 to possibly 9, maybe 10 games he's going to miss, just because we're going to be ultimately very careful with Steph. And hopefully the depth of this Warriors team is going to allow us to at least tread water and give him enough time to get healthy. Oh man, this Bay Area can't catch a break. If you're a Niners fan, which I know most of you are, and if you're not, well, you can disregard. But I mean, we've been just dealing with injuries and just well, hopefully we get Christian McCaffrey back, and then shortly thereafter, Steph Curry's back, and our teams can make a run. But silver linings. Let's kind of look at some more positive here, because you know the Warriors were looking good. You know, we haven't talked since after their first game. So on Friday, they looked great against the Jazz. A lot of things to like. The main one is Andrew Wiggins. You know, Wiggins might be back and might be better than ever. 29 points in this one, and it looked good. You know, obviously the shots falling, but the activity, you're seeing him flying around. He had a tied his career high with 13 rebounds on Friday. And this, you see the conditioning is just much better. He's in shape. The offseason made a huge difference this year. He's around the facility. He was working out all summer long. Wasn't the same last year. The team and Wiggins has admitted he did not come into camp in shape, and it seemed like he never really got his legs under him for whatever the reason. I think we probably know why. But he looks like a rejuvenated, focused, in shape Wiggins. Couple of just, you know, dunks where he's being explosive and getting to the hoop. He's looking mentally to be aggressive. He's attacking, a few nice plays off the dribble as a passer. This is the Wiggins that can be an effective number two player once Steph returns, and gives us hope for being a solid postseason contender. Still moves need to be made to kind of shore up the scoring behind that. But from what we've seen with Wiggins so far, and just I'd give him an A plus from what we've got the first three games from him. We are going to see what it looks like when, I mean, I'm going to guess he's going to be our number one scorer. We're going to have to try to feature him. Assignment gets a lot tougher at that point, especially if he's going to be guarding team's best players. Wiggins, hope you're in shape, buddy, because it looks like you are, and we're going to be asking for everything you can give us. Also, silver lining, Kevon Looney. I thought we just kind of knew what Looney was. He was, you know, Looney was probably not going to be getting very many minutes this year. He was out of the rotation, was the thought. Man, Looney's looked as good as anybody, especially of our bigs. He is noticeably very lean, quick, active. The touch around the rim is much improved. I've always said Looney's the worst finisher in the league, but he's finished almost everything. And what he's missed, he's been quick enough to get the rebound and tap it back in. He's hit a couple of mid-range shots, which is huge. Just kind of opens him up a bit. Looney, effort never been a question, but I think they said he's about down about 25 pounds. That's what intermittent fasting will do for you. But more so just being focused, and he's really always been dedicated to his body and his conditioning. So Kevon Looney, I just have to give you your flowers here. You've looked great, and you almost propelled us to a win last night in a tough matchup when our other bigs, particularly Draymond, did not have it. So thank you, Looney. Keep it up. I hope this trend continues from both you and Wiggins, and we're gonna need it. So, aside from those two, how do you replace a Steph Curry? I mean, you can't, but in the aggregate, I mean, what the Warriors are probably gonna do, it's gonna be Pajemski playing at the point. Gives you the playmaking that you miss from Steph. I had notes before Steph got hurt. Just, the assists are up from Steph this year. It's you're going to see a high assist year from Steph, just from the lack of playmakers in that starting lineup. Well, Pajemski's going to get his turn to handle the ball, be a primary playmaker. We're going to have to get a lot more scoring from Pajemski, which I haven't really seen that jump from last year. We're probably going to be getting close to maybe like a 9 or 10 point score is kind of what it looks like. But he has been aggressive. So we need to see a little bit more scoring chops from Brandon. And then I think what the Warriors are probably going to do is you're going to have to put Buddy Hield in that starting lineup just for shooting, for spacing. What Pods gives you in playmaking, Buddy replaces for Steph in the shooting department, the spacing department. I know we wanted to give this starting lineup a little bit more run, but and it has worked at times, but without Steph in there, it's not going to work with Kuminga in that big front court. There's just no shooting, no playmaking, no spacing. It's just not enough. So if it were me, I would start Pods and Buddy, and I would send JK to the bench. Let Kuminga come off the bench, play out as a four, so you have some spacing to work. I mean, he just looks rough as a three so far. The shooting, it doesn't look any better. It kind of looks worse. I'm sure he's shooting well in the offseason in open gym. But he's shooting too many threes. He had a nice catch and shoot. If he wants to be set and be a catch and shoot 3-point shooter with that starting lineup, that's okay. When it's off the dribble or when it's early in the shot clock or, it's just forced, it doesn't go in. So that we need to kind of just step back and kind of cool the Jets on Kuminga being able to be an effective three spacing. It's just not going to happen for a while. And quite frankly, he just doesn't fit this motion style offense. But maybe we're going to find a little bit different ways to get him open, to find ways to let him be effective. And he was good off the bench last year. I know he wants to start, but if we're going to give him the best chance to be successful, he needs to be at the four. He needs space to work with. And I will say, his activity last night was better. He had one monster offensive rebound in that first quarter that led to a Wiggins three. Had five rebounds in this one, which I think is kind of my over-under I'm looking for from him. In reality, it should be closer to six. But he had three steals in this one. So the activity was better. He got to the line. The efficiency still wasn't great. But we've seen almost enough of a sample size to know that Kuminga is a good scorer. He will finish better at the rim. He has not been good finishing at all this year. Everything's just been kind of down. He's going to settle in and he will he better get back to at least that 16 point score he was last year, and still have some upside there. But yeah, okay, so the other option would be if Kuminga stays in the starting lineup, we're going to have to go small, which means taking TJD out of the starting lineup. And you saw the closing lineup. It'll look something like that from last night, where Pajemski or Melton will probably be at the points. Then you go, and then you have, or sorry, both of them could be in, or you have a Buddy Hield in with those two. And you have Kuminga, Wiggins, and Draymond rounding it out. Some combination of that would potentially be the option here. But we're going to find out soon because we go right into our New Orleans comes right to Chase Center for a back-to-back tomorrow and Wednesday. And we're going to have to find ways to be big because Zion Williamson is a load and you're going to be asking a lot from Draymond Green here. Well, let's just get into our Draymond segment here. So the big ask here, and we'll get back to the Warriors as a whole, but I need Draymond Green to step up as a leader, as the heartbeat of this team, and just even on the floor, but just from a cultural standpoint, we've seen for a decade that this team goes as Draymond goes, especially with Steph out, who I think is the best humble leader, leads by his actions, and his mentality here, but he's not an energy guy. Draymond Green is the energy in this team. He had no energy last night. The Warriors had no energy last night. In order to win, especially while Steph's out, the Warriors' defense is what's going to have to take over. The energy, just winning in the margins. What we saw the first two nights where you're getting to every loose ball, you're out rebounding teams, you're out working teams, you're using your depth, all that. You know, it was there for the first two games, and some players were working hard last night, but when you, one of your leaders, especially your energy leader, is not stepping up and getting benched in the fourth quarter, well, that's a bigger problem in itself. So your attitude is contagious, Draymond. I need you to show that you're mature. You need to step up. You need to lead this team in Steph's absence. You're gonna have to additionally have a lot more ball handling duties and be a playmaker. You're gonna need to be a good scorer. We need a couple extra points than usual from you. We need you to be aggressive. We need you to be a positive influence on this team. You cannot get a technical foul, especially during Steph's absence, because every point is at a premium. We're gonna be winning games potentially in the low 100s, maybe in the 90s. Every point matters here. And I'm looking for you to really show me something against Zion Williamson. You know, he's an athletic freak, but you're going to use your knowledge, your effort, and your just defensive skill to really neutralize him and give us a chance to come away with two wins and sweep the Pelicans out of Chase Center. Other things we're looking for here, just more from the Warriors in general, is can Wiggins be a number one scorer? I think we know the answer to that is probably not, but if we can get 21 from Wiggins, 22 from Wiggins, you're getting, you know, 16 from Buddy and JK, and you're piecing it together. You're going to have Moses Moody step up as one of your best bench scorers. He needs to be in double digits, gets more minutes. That's a silver lining, as we're going to get to see a little bit more Moses Moody here. We're gonna find out. We're gonna see what this Warriors team really has behind Steph. The biggest question has always been, you know, who emerges as that number two scorer. So again, to keep using the same words, silver lining is we're gonna get a good look to see who can step up, be a volume scorer, you know, find other ways to score when Steph's spacing and Steph's presence just isn't there to help. And we're gonna get a good look at what we have and just to see what kind of depth we have. And I think this is probably the best guard depth we've had in the last several seasons with Pajemski and Melton here. And then you also have additional ball handling, even with like a Kyle Anderson running point at times as a point forward. So I guess let's see. Let's be excited to see what this team has early in the season. Let's find out early. And then once this team gets rolling, it can carry a plus 500 record for the time Steph's gone. Steph gets entered back in, and much like the Niners getting McCaffrey back, we're going to start making a good push to the top here, knowing that the infrastructure of our team without our star is still very solid. All right, well, there'll be better days, Dumb Nation. I gotta say, good win for the Niners. Get into the bye, Warriors. We got some work to do. Starts with Draymond Green, starts with Andrew Wiggins, keeping it going. And Jonathan Kuminga, I'm looking at you to step up as well. All right, I will talk to you guys after we handle, hopefully, both New Orleans games. Maybe I'll get on here in between. But until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.